our government position as an institute that also cuts on, you know, above this, which includes the just transition as well. Next slide. Now, our strategy as an institution focuses on development in a financially, it is very key that, you know, as an institution, we remain financially sustainable while, you know, achieving development impact. And not only, you know, getting development impact, as in our country, where, you know, we've experienced COVID, and COVID found us when we were, you know, experiencing difficulty as a country from a growth perspective. Now, as a development finance institution, it is very key for us to, you know, to ensure that during this time, more than ever, we really focus on ensuring economic development and doing it as speedily, and that's why it's important that we really highlight the issue around acceleration. Building a future fit DDSA, you know, for us to also do that, we have to ensure that as an institution, we are well resourced, both from a people and a technology, you know, perspective, for us to be able to execute on this mandate, because it is, you know, it is a future fit DDSA that will enable us to be able to then do this. On smart partnerships are key, you know, in terms of our mandate, I mean, and collaboration. And I think, you know, when we collaborate, we achieve much, much more than when we go at it alone. We have developed smart partnerships with our international development finance institutions. We have developed partnerships with, you know, with the government departments that we service, both from an infrastructure delivery perspective and also in the implementation of various programs, like for instance the DDM. In the last few years, you know, in the last year, we've experienced two downgrades. I think go to the previous slide. Thank you. We've experienced two downgrades, you know, capital market meltdown, credit, where, you know, some of our clients, you know, found, you know, the environment quite challenging. We had to implement a work from home strategy. You know, fortunately, you know, the work from home found us ready, because at that time we had already implemented Office 365 to aid our employees to work from home. So it was really, you know, a smooth, you know, transition, if I could put it that way, in that respect, in line with, you know, building our future fit DBSA. And we've had social unrest as well recently. I mean, from an economic growth perspective, we are seeing, you know, a decline in economic growth, and you know, and we are expecting, you know, the trade balance to, you know, remain, you know, positive for now. And I think also, you know, in terms of the exchange rate risk, I would like to highlight that, you know, more than 30%, I mean, yeah, less than 30% of our loan book is in is denominated in hard currency, mainly the dollar. So we are susceptible to foreign currency risk, as an institution. But the good news is that, you know, we saw the rand strengthen. I mean, I remember when we, you know, finalized last year's financials, we were sitting just over 17, you know, 17, you know, 18 there, and now when we finalized, we were sitting at 14. So, you know, the rand, you know, has made a comeback. Next slide. And here we provide, you know, a forecast, you know, in terms of our domestic macroeconomic factors. I'd like to highlight as well that one of the key things that we actually achieved this year, you know, and in the last financial year, as an institution, you know, we have built an in-house economics department where we actually now generating our own economic data. We are generating our own models, and we are also releasing our own opinion pieces. I think you might have seen, you know, a few of them, you know, in the media, you know, published by our chief our chief economist. Next slide. Now, in terms of our integrated infrastructure development approach, and this is an approach that we adopted as an institution when we revised our strategy and we went through our organizational review, where we ensured that, you know, when we built DBSA, it is a DBSA that plays along the infrastructure development value chain. So as a development finance institution, we don't only focus on financing infrastructure, but we play along the value chain. And that means we plan. And in terms of planning from an infrastructure perspective, this support we mainly provide to our under-resourced municipalities to actually, you know, enable our municipalities to, you know, to unlock infrastructure opportunities. And we actually have a dedicated team within the DBSA that does this work. And we also have budget allocation for to be able to also procure any, you know, technical experts as well to be able to, you know, develop these plans. And we also do, you know, pilot projects as well with the municipalities in terms of proof of concept, you know, which we have done with a few municipalities on asset management and revenue enhancement as well. So it actually goes beyond infrastructure development. We prepare projects. We have a dedicated project preparation division within the bank where we, you know, identify projects, do feasibility studies, and develop programs as well. One of the key programs that we have actually developed within, you know, the division that is actually, you know, a flagship project, you know, preparation program is the SHIP program, that is the student housing program, and the, you know, and the other programs as well that have, you know, will now be implemented through the infrastructure fund, which I will touch on at a later stage. We provide finance, you know, that is, you know, your loans, and we do project finance funding as well. In building here, what we do, this is our infrastructure delivery division, where we implement and maintain infrastructure on behalf of government department and state-owned and owned entities as well. And this also, you know, assists, you know, this division also does maintenance of infrastructure as well. In terms of our, you know, the sectors we focus on, and these are the sectors that we refined when in 2012, 2013, when we, you know, when we revised our strategy. Our key focus sectors are water and sanitation, transport, ICT, energy, education, housing, and health as well. In terms of our client base, you know, our main clients are our state-owned entities, municipalities, you know, looking at your metros and your under-resourced municipalities as well. And we also do projects in with the private sector as well in the form of PPPs. Next slide. I have, you know, I've really, you know, touched on the value chain around, you know, around planning, and this just, you know, provides, you know, a little bit more detail, you know, around the work that we do in planning. And from a project preparation perspective, I've also touched on this. I just like to, you know, highlight what we have achieved, you know, in the last 5 years, where we have prepared over 50 billion worth of projects, you know, as an institution. And I think what is key here, you know, is capitalization, because as I had said earlier, achieving accelerated development impact. And what we do here from a project preparation perspective is to actually de-risk projects at an early stage to enable, you know, crowding in of funding so that the projects can be executed accordingly. Next slide. I've also touched on our financing business, and as we can see, you know, since 2017 to 2020, we have averaged about 12.25 billion in disbursements, and these disbursements go towards infrastructure. Projects, both, you know, in South Africa and in the region as well. Now, from an infrastructure delivery perspective, we have, you know, in the last 5 years, we have assisted our clients, you know, which is our state-owned entities and government departments to deliver, you know, infrastructure finance, 16.2 billion worth of infrastructure finance. And I think, infrastructure delivery, sorry. And I think since inception of this specific, division in 2013, 2014, we have managed to deliver over 20 billion in infrastructure. And as you can see here, in terms of, you know, the number of jobs that have been, you know, created annually, you're looking at almost 50,000 jobs, you know, the SMME spend, the schools that have been refurbished and the new schools that have also been built and the health facilities. You know, this is significant impact. From a social infrastructure perspective, you know, in making sure that, you know, our children are taught, you know, structured and well looked after infrastructure and live indignity, which is a basic requirement of any, you know, human being. I've touched on, you know, what we do from an infrastructure delivery perspective. Now, in terms of how we have, you know, performed from an infrastructure, you know, when we look at in quarter one of 2021, I mean 21 to 2022, and how we performed in 2020. In terms of infrastructure unlocked, we achieved 1.4 billion. Project prepared and committed for funding was 2.4 billion. We reached total disbursements of 15.4 billion in 2020. And in quarter one of 2022, we have already done 5.8 billion in disbursements. And most of those disbursements actually went to supporting our metros. In terms of funds catalyzed, please go back, which I touched on, that one of the key roles in us, you know, catalyzing funds for infrastructure development, we catalyzed for 43.1 billion. And we managed to deliver infrastructure to the value of 4.1 billion in 2020. And I think in 2020, one, it was slightly below that due to, you know, the impact of the lockdowns. And for the first quarter of this year, we have already achieved 793 million in infrastructure delivery. Now, if we then had to look at the development, you know, the disbursements and where these disbursements have gone, you know, in the last three years, you know, from secondary municipalities, as we all know, you know, they have limited, you know, balance sheet opportunities, and most of our municipalities, you know, actually cannot borrow as well. So last year, what we found was that, you know, fewer secondary municipalities went looking for funding in the market, you know. But you know, as DBS say, I mean, due to, you know, we found ourselves in a challenging, you know, position last year from a cost of funding perspective, you know, that was, you know, influenced by the ratings downgrade, obviously COVID-19 as well, you know, where there was, you know, no liquidity in the market for a period of time. However, you know, things managed to then, you know, stabilize thereafter, where we could then, you know, raise funding from our institutional investors. And I think we were also impacted by the land bank contingent risk, which I will also touch on at a later stage. So if we look at, you know, the metros, we continue to support them from a development perspective. Our secondary cities, you know, it's on an increasing scale, you know, when we look at from how it has moved from 2018 to 2020. However, in 2021, it is at least, you know, it did decline, you know, our disbursements to the secondary city, where we saw the commercial banks actually, you know, pricing, you know, aggressively to fund the secondary cities. From an economic infrastructure perspective, you know, it has increased from 2018 to 2020, and our rest of Africa business and social infrastructure, as you know, our rest of Africa has increased, and we continue to fund social infrastructure as well. And I mean, in from the rest of Africa business, you know, it's a very complex, you know, complex environment to do business in. However, it is a key, you know, area of business for us as a development finance institution to participate in. And, you know, and we did see some of our, you know, some of the countries that we, you know, that we support, you know, facing challenges with COVID and physical constraints as well. Next slide. Now, from a performance, financial performance perspective, you know, DBSA has remained resilient through a time of difficulty, you know, from a balance sheet perspective and also from an income statement perspective. If we look at how, you know, our net interest margin has, you know, has been strengthening over a period of time, you know, from 2017 to 2020, we have seen how our, you know, return on average on sustainable earnings has really remained above inflation. And I think this is important for us to actually, you know, ensure that we preserve our capital for us to be able to leverage it for, you know, for greater development in, impact when it comes to funding of projects. Now, if you see in 2020, for instance, there's a bit of a decline there where our sustainable earnings is negative. However, our net profit is positive, you know, and there what we then experienced was the impact of COVID-19. I mean, we finalized our financials in September, I think, yeah, August, September last year. So we actually had the opportunity to, you know, capture some of the forecasted, you know, impact on for you know, for COVID-19 in our numbers. So we then had, you know, high expected credit losses for the 2020 year, which then resulted in negative sustainable earnings. However, our costs, you know, remained, you know, our cost containment, you know, remained within acceptable levels as well. And I think, you know, in our financial strategy as an institution, we really, you know, ensure cost optimization as an institution, even as we embark on our future fit DBSA journey, you know, cost optimization is actually, you know, top of mind. Our debt to, we have legislated debt to equity of 250% as an institution. And our equity has been growing. Our total equity has been growing over time. Our asset base has been growing over time. As you can see, from 2017 to 2020, we have, you know, grown from 84 billion to over 100 billion. And this is really a great achievement for DBSA, considering the operating environment we find ourselves in. Our total liabilities is actually, you know, made up on our bonds that we, you know, our listed bonds on the JSE and lines of credit that we utilize from development finance, from international year that, you know, one of the things that our church did very well last year in local currency, you know, we actually expanded our you know, sources of funds, you know, base, and actually raised money in dollars, you know, to be able to then meet our disbursement requirements. Our non-performing loan remains within, you know, acceptable levels, and I think last year we reported it at just over. In terms of development impact and what we, you know, achieved, you know, these are the numbers in terms of the jobs that have been created, you know, the learners that benefited from the new schools we built last year, and the households 154,000 households that benefited, and 2.4 billion in value of infrastructure delivered by Black-owned entities, and 1,301, you know, SMMEs that and subcontractors that were employed in the construction of projects, you know, just to highlight a few of the achievements indicated on the slide. Now here, you know, in terms of municipal support, just to, you know, I had already, you know, alluded to the support that we provide our municipalities, and in the year 2020 we had, you know, 1.7 billion you know, infrastructure unlocked in 8 municipalities, that has resulted in 98 projects, and in 2021 it's 1.4 billion in 14 municipalities, and this has resulted in 278 infrastructure projects. And you know, and in terms of, you know, households with access in municipalities to water, electricity, roads, and jobs created, those numbers are provided, you know, at the bottom here, where we can see that from a water and sanitation perspective, we had, you know, 145,000 in 2020, and 2021 it actually increased to 100, you know, and 49,000 households. And from a roads perspective, went from 6.2 kilometers to 32 kilometers, and the number of jobs have also increased. Now, in terms of lending, these are the, you know, number of the approvals and the commitments and the disbursements that we then achieved in the year 2021. Next slide. Now, from a DDM perspective, we actually have to check out who is on the line as well, who will be taking, you know, any questions on the DDM. The district development model is an initiative that DBSA is providing support to COPTA from an implementation perspective, and DBSA has also provided, you know, some funding as well to, you know, to the initial operationalization of the DDM office. The project management office and district hubs, you know, have been established and are fully functional. And I think, you know, this is a key achievement. And the reason I say that is, you know, this office was established and set up, you know, during, you know, at the height of, you know, lockdowns, where, you know, everything from interviews to, you know, to actually, you know, onboarding the team in office was actually done online. So our human, you know, capital, you know, division put a lot of effort in ensuring that, you know, this specific office was up and running to be able to, you know, then deliver on the requirements. In terms of the one plans, for OR Tambo, Waterberg and Etiquette have been completed, and the public consultations are underway. And the One Plan Model for the Information and Decision Support Management System, this is, expected, to be completed in the latter part of this year. And then in terms of the, the draft local economic development plan, this has also been completed. And the employment of staff for the National Disaster Management Center, this was also, done by the DBSA to then be able to support our, to support our Proctor during this time. Next slide. Now, one of the key initiatives that we started developing as an institution, was to see how we can, stimulate the township economy as an institution, and not only from an economic perspective. Because remember, going back to the definition of our mandate, we talk to economic development, we talk to skills and human capital and capacity development. Now, in terms of the development laboratories, we call them DLEDs. Here, we actually, partnering with, various stakeholders to actually, stimulate economic development, and also to build, four IR skills, and this has been done through the DLEBS program. We currently have implemented two sites, one in and these were our pilot sites, one in Jabulani, Soweto, and one in West Ridge, Mitchell's Plain. I know that the next ones that we because here it was a pilot stage, we are looking at expanding this and also doing a pilot in a rural environment, so that we can start gathering data so that it then enable us for a bigger rollout. Now, if we look at, how, what we have achieved so far in Jabulani, Soweto, we have, trained 310 students, created 70 jobs, and as a DBSA, we've put in 16.7 million in this specific facility, and you can also see what we have achieved from a training perspective and SMME support in the Mitchell's Plain area as well. And when we talk to for our skills, we're talking skills like coding that we providing to the youth in those communities, because these are critical skills in terms of the knowledge economy that's been that's currently being built, and these are relevant skills that are required for economic development as well.
Osako, you're close to 45 minutes. How much longer would you need, do you think?
Next slide.
Hello, Ms. Osako. I'm checking. You're close to 5 minutes now. I mean, really, we have to have an engagement. We normally allow 45 minutes.
Chair, maybe give me another 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes is fine. Thank you.
So that we can have an engagement.
Yeah, no problem.
I'll quickly, speak through the rest of these slides. I just want to touch on the just transition framework that we have developed as the DBSA.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Framework is underpinned by the IRP, And it is a key framework, you know, that will, you know, inform, you know, our investment decisions going forward as an institution. And I think, you know, our key focus here is to, you know, minimize, you know, the impact from an economic perspective of, you know, stranded assets, to, you know, to ensure that we also create opportunities for new industries, you know, to be developed, and, you know, and embed, you know, green climate in our operations as well. We actually do have a dedicated green climate financing division within the bank. Next slide. And here we, you know, we then, you know, highlight the various sources of funds that we have raised, you know, as the DBSA to be able to execute on our green climate financing mandate. Next slide. And these are the partnerships as well. It's the detail on the key international partnerships. Now, in terms of the infrastructure fund, and I'm sure you'll have questions on the infrastructure fund. What I'd like to, you know, highlight on the infrastructure fund is we signed the MOA in August last year between DBSA, Infrastructure South Africa, and National Treasury. The office is fully operational. You know, the infrastructure fund is fully operational, established. And it has actually, you know, submitted projects for approval to BFI. So this this goes back to our point on accelerating development impact. So we are really moving with speed on this. Okay, and then in terms of the pipeline, we've provided the detail on the pipeline. Okay, and this is, you know, an overview of our exposure in the rest of Africa. Next slide. Okay, and then in terms of an update on other matters, these are allegations that were raised by Honorable General Holomisa, and this is a matter that is currently sitting with SCOPA. What we'd like to highlight, you know, with this with these specific allegations, obviously, you know, we have released our media statement on this issue, that these you know, allegations are unfounded, and we have gone through, you know, a forensic investigation on this, where the outcome of the investigation, though, you know, it raised, you know, some gaps, you know, in terms of things that we could have done better from a process perspective. There was no fraud or corruption, and that was the conclusion of the investigation. Next slide. Yes, I've already, you know, highlighted here that there was no evidence of conflict of interest, collusion, or fraud on these transactions. Next slide. And in terms of the board, you know, in terms of the victimization when it came to board appointments, and I think we stated this categorically that, you know, the appointment of board members was done in a fair and transparent, you know, manner. So really, you know, this was, you know, one of those where we, you know, were really outright in saying that we really you know, followed process as approved by the minister at that time. you know, just as much as, you know, so that is on the board members. And this is just an update on, you know, this is just an overview of the robust investment process that we undergo as a financial institution, that highlights our strong governance and decision-making process when it comes to investment decisions. Now, Chair, before I close, I quickly want to, you know, touch on the land bank contagion effect, you know, and this continues to, you know, impact the DBSA negatively from a fundraising perspective, you know, where we have found ourselves having to look to, you know, raising funds in euro and US and USD, and obviously this has put, you know, a premium on our pricing as well. So it is a matter that, you know, that, you know, I know that, you know, there's efforts in resolving, you know, but we just wanted to highlight, you know, how it's actually impacting us as a, you know, as a financial institution. Next slide. This is all the initiatives that we, you know, that we implemented during COVID. We, you know, we actually put aside 150 million in the year 2020 to address, you know, to address COVID. We supported the National Disaster Management Center to the tune of 15 million, which I touched on earlier. We actually collaborated with the CSIR, you know, to increase testing capacity and to, you know, and to develop a ventilator prototype. We supported our SADC member states as well, and provided isolation pods. Next slide. Now, with the recent social unrest in terms of how it has impacted us, you know, we are currently, you know, implementing 631 projects, and you know, there was no significant impact, you know, reported, you know, during that time. However, as the DBSA, we will continue to support our municipalities, you know, during this time to enable quicker reconstruction of damaged infrastructure, and we are currently in discussions as well with our you know, our sister DFIs on how we're going to be supporting SMME. Now here, you know, what we would like to highlight here is that, you know, as a development finance institution, we are expected to play you know, a counter cyclical role during times of difficulty. One of them, you know, being, you know, COVID in the last year. But, you know, what we found is that, you know, there was a lot of support, you know, provided to the financial sector, you know, to the commercial banks, you know, during the time, you know, where guarantees were, you know, just as much as we are expected to respond, you know, during that time, we had to actually, you know, find ourselves relying on our own, you know, resources and strategic partners to be able to, you know, execute on our mandate. And I think it is something that really has to be, you know, looked at closely to then say, you know, during times like this, what support can then be provided to the DFIs. And then the annexures as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, okay, next. Let's just thank you. and indeed my party can try think that the ANC is everything, and to some extent that's true for the party. Okay, so Deficit for local and some international and the answer was yes, I will provide support in spite of the Development Bank because they already indicated that the results of the bias study
Talking there about the national workers that is taking place in municipalities, if they can pay for which municipalities are those. Secondly, one is the issue of the COVID-19. I just want to find out
questions and yes, that's one also it is 9 just to have more those so that one hand also exactly the factor is the issues before I think that just now for now and then you and this thank you. Did you hear you, Mr. Mark? Mr. Mark? Can you?
Part of the topic, linked to what so. So we work of our city and with the land in the intention to land bank and the that it would have the decision decision and the policy by our ministry, that we both report to, and obviously underpinned by economic policy as well. Now, in terms of expropriation without compensation and how that would impact us, I think it's good to highlight here that Land Bank plays a very significant role in the agriculture space, and enhances food security, you know, not only for South Africa, but also for you know, the region and export purposes as well. And I think from our perspective as a development finance institution, we will continue, you know, as the DBSA, to provide, you know, bulk, you know, bulk infrastructure financing to be able to enable sustainability and growth, you know, in this in this specific, you know, sector, and you know, and that is, you know, our role currently, and that is a role that we will continue, you know, to play as the DBSA. Now, the question that you know, has been, you know, raised, you know, as well on the IF, on the COVID initiatives that we embarked on. I've already, you know, stated the support we provided the NMDC, the testing capacity we enhanced together with the CSIR, the isolation pods, you know, that we, you know, that we provided. And what we also did is we also, you know, the other question was around how did we support the rural, you know, municipalities during this time. We, you know, we provided treatment works. We provided, you know, energized boreholes. I think it was to the tune of 40 boreholes that we provided. We also provided water, you know, tankers as well to those municipalities. Another thing that we, you know, that we did, and this we supported the Department of Education, you know, through our infrastructure, you know, delivery division. We actually, you know, managed to, you know, quickly, you know, respond, you know, in addressing water and sanitation challenges, you know, in the schools. And I think on the IF pipeline, I will hand over to the Chief Investment Officer of the Infrastructure Fund, Mohale Rakhate, to respond to the question on the IF, on the infrastructure.
Thank you very much, CFO. Good morning, Chairperson. Yeah, the six municipalities that are being supported under the National Water Program are the following: Skukune District Municipality, Vembe District Municipality, Ugu District Municipality, Elembe District Municipality, and the Reinkonyeni Local Municipality, as well as Solplaki Local Municipalities. So this is also in line with the, in, you know, the district development model. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rakhate, and also Ms. Musako. Mr. Mark, are you back?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much. Minister, and over the years, think on the whole, managed it's not always true. Some of the things, and I'm talking about my more technique. Governance is concerned, we've had a strong board of independent-minded people. And as the as Jaron Molochiki said, he's with us before he left as chair, he said the strength of the BBFA is that the decisions made by the board were to place in. And I think that is important. And thirdly, we've been able to attract the high-quality managers who could have earned more in other institutions, but believed in the mission. And that ethos of public service is really critical, rather than an ethos of accumulation. And I think those three factors are worth considering in the response to that question. As far as the question about the DBSA Land Bank merger, I don't recall discussing that at our board meeting, and I don't think we can say we have a view on this matter. I would just say, just in my personal view, that a solution to a problematic institution is not always to merge it with a good one. But that is a general point and may not be relevant to this specific context. So, you know, I think we should remain open to the conversation, but I don't think we have a view on the matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sweetie. Thank you very much. We have got feedback from the any other hands, Kuleko?
No, Chair. I don't have any hands here.
Okay. Yes. I think we have received a comprehensive report from the Development Bank, which have brought that also what we wanted to check as overseas that we in terms of our oversight development that happened. In terms of the recent unrest and the COVID-19, and to understand what is the impact in terms of its operations and functions, whether there were anything that was in terms of obstacles that the bank could not maybe perform its duties and implement its mandate for us in terms of our oversight. To understand as to what the impact was, as many committees is going out in this few days in terms of doing oversight. So we are also doing our oversight as a finance committee. So we have got response from the in terms of the questions that was raised. If there are any other questions, can we again open for members to raise questions, clarities, anything that the members think that the bank had to address us. And then also I think if the bank, there's anything on the last slide that you think that you was under pressure on time, we can still give you an opportunity to go back to some of the issues that you think that you would want to touch, that you may be rushed to. And then we'll be appreciated if you could get that also. If there are not yet any hands, then we'll immediately then give over to DBSA to take us further in terms of any issues that they think of importance that they would want to raise with the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. All the in detail here in terms of the support we provided, you know, at the national level, the support, the capacity we provided to the national human capital support we provided, the provision of screening units, the isolation pods that we provided, the enhanced testing capacity. We also provide member states as well. So the range, you know, and the support to our municipalities, and also in the infrastructure delivery development division. So I really think when you look at, we actually responded, you know, at different levels, you know, in line with our mandate. We were, you know, able to respond, you know, quickly, you know, in terms of servicing our clients, which is, you know, the national departments in, you know, assisting them in their response initiatives. We were, you know, able to provide the necessary capacity at, you know, municipal level. You know, we were able to collaborate with our technical, you know, infrastructure entities in the form of the CSR, you know, to then see how we can, you know, respond by enhancing the testing capacity, you know, and looking at you know, development of ventilators as well. And departments and state-owned entities, you know, exchange, collaborate, we can really get done. And this we saw, you know, as part of our response to COVID is on the. And another thing that I'd like, and the next slide is on the social highlighted municipal clients to, you know, to enable them for a quicker reconstruction of, you know, damaged, you know, infrastructure, you know, so that support will definitely be provided. I'd also like to highlight the SMME, you know, support that we will be providing, and this is a collaboration yet again with our sister, you know, our sister DFIs, both at the national and you know, provincial level as well. You know, we had already, you know, allocated, you know, funds, you know, to actually see how we can, you know, enhance SMME support. And within the DBSA as well, one of the challenges that we saw was the challenges that are being faced by the construction sector. And CISA, this is a sector that we rely on, you know, from an implementation perspective. We have also, you know, developed, you know, financing products for our clients, you know, as a start, you know, who are implementing projects on our behalf to see how we can then support them to enable infrastructure delivery. And you know, the expansion of our investor base, you know, for us, you know, to be able to you know, get the necessary funding for us to then, you know, implement. Now, in terms of this slide, I think I have already, you know, highlighted you know, the importance on how, you know, we, you know, how as government we need to, you know, view support for DFI, considering the expectation of them, you know, playing a counter cyclical role. And I think here, you know, we just want to, you know, emphasize, you know, that point that we saw, you know, other, you know, financial institutions being supported during this time. I think that's about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Masako. Is that are there anything further from the DBSA? Any additions so that we know that in terms of the presentation we have covered everything that we think that we needed to cover. If they are not, we will again check for members who would want to engage. Any hands, Nkuleko?
No. Okay.
Chair, if I may just very briefly respond to Honorable Dutoy.
Yes, pleasure. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
So the question was a kind of indirect one around starting with the negative impact that the land bank situation had on us. That is correct. In particular, when it came to accessing our traditional source of funding, and our funders became quite nervous as a result of what happened to the land bank. Exactly, I am very ignorant about the relationship between the land bank situation and the expropriation without compensation policy. But the question seemed to imply that if that went ahead, it could make the land bank situation worse, which in turn would negatively impact on us. I don't think we have a view on exactly what that relationship is, but obviously what we can say is that many of our development projects with municipalities, in particular the smaller municipalities that are the epicenters of rural economies, anything that happens that is negative in the rural economy will affect what we can do with those municipalities. And whether expropriation without compensation will be positive or negative, that's not something we have a view on. I think what we can say is that anything that has a negative impact on the land bank's financial future that could make the current situation worse, that's problematic for us. Obviously, land is not the only issue in rural economies. We also have started to get involved in rural infrastructure type projects. So that has a kind of indirect impact on agriculture. So yeah, I think that would be our response to Mr. Dutoy, Honorable Dutoy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mark. I think let's take another round to check, Kuleko, whether there are any other hands from the honourable members.
No, Chair. I saw Mr. Mohale Rahate. I'm not too sure if his hand was up or it was a mistake, Chair, from TBSA.
I think we have double checked. We have double checked on the engagement of the members to the presentation that was made by the Development Bank of South Africa. Yeah, as we have said at the beginning when we started the meeting, that the purpose of this meeting is for the committee to have an oversight over the specifically on the current developments that happened, so that we understand as to the impact to the bank. And I think the in terms of the presentation today that we, as members of the Finance Committee of the NCOP, to understand the mandate of the bank and also the scope of work of the bank. And then from the team DBSA, that the presentation was very detailed and it was specific to the issues that the bank is in terms of its operational, how dealing with the issues, the interactions and engagement, the specific that I've been very interested in terms of the district development, the involvement of the bank in terms of the district development a model, which I believe is a key in terms of development, what government is now in terms of looking how to develop within the municipality, specific when we look in terms of your rural municipalities and how the district development model will play a vital role in terms of the development of small municipalities, changing the phases of the municipalities. So I think if there are no any more hands, we have thought that this meeting will be longer, but I think that the presentation was clear, members understood, and then I think we are coming to the end of this meeting. Kuleko, is there any other thing before maybe I may then close the meeting?
Not really, Chair, other than the announcement for next week meeting. Next week, we are having a briefing from National Treasury on the impact of the unrest. That's all, Chair.
Thank you very much, Kuleko. Mr. Rahake, Ms. Mosako, Mr. Mark, the members of the committee of the finance, the NCOP, and also the administration, which are always the members of the committee to be able to execute our duties, so that we also, in terms of our role, to be able to play our role effective and efficient. So I think on this note, and to thank everybody and to say that I think this meeting now is adjourned, and to thank everybody once more. Thank you very much. Enjoy your day further. Thank you very much.
Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you.